Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 6, Number 12. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I discussed the concept of muscle memory. Most people have heard of muscle memory, but as I discussed and as we learned, muscle fibers don't really remember anything. Skeletal muscle fibers don't have a separate independent mind or a consciousness. Of course, they are connected to the central computer. All memory is retrieved from inside the brain as a function of the central nervous system, which commands all action and response, including muscle fiber contraction. So I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I move. That's the way it works. Now, once you've established an intake of essential vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, and amino acids, it is important to consider the use of additional dietary supplements based on their significance and relative value. Anyone can walk into a health food store and buy creatine or whey protein isolate, and to some degree, these products can and often do provide immediate benefit. But in many other cases, the customer either fails to obtain any benefit or doesn't obtain full benefit because they don't have their nutrition bases covered. They generally assume they're getting everything or most of everything they need. How many times have you heard that? I get everything I need for my diet. What a pile of crap. When in fact, they are not, and we can prove that. Their approach can therefore be defined as a hit and miss at best. Consumers often try something new. They come into the store. It's the latest product on the shelf. They drop it after a couple of weeks because they don't have their foundation covered. And then they try something again, and they just take this entire approach their whole life. This approach is designed to fail. Like controlled exercise, it's not something you, quote, try, unquote. Nutrition needs to be planned and applied consistently. Like training, you don't try it, you do it, and you keep doing it. And when you keep doing it, you get the benefits. It's as simple as that. Regarding long-term health and performance, it is wise to evaluate individual nutrition requirements, vitamins, minerals, that kind of thing, in relation to the dietary supplement period I designed and present in the CSNA program with hierarchy, science, and priority nutrition in mind. The idea is to start from scratch, cover the basics first, and then move up from the bottom to the top of the pyramid, one layer or a segment at a time. On this edition of Clinical Review, I would like to introduce a four-part series titled The Big Four. The Big Four includes whey protein isolate, creatine monohydrate, HMB, and L-glutamine. These substances are well established in the industry, validated by science, advocated by every well-known researcher, and most importantly, they are congruent with health. In essence, if you use these four great products correctly and consistently, you will see and feel the difference, which will increase your sense of confidence and respect for the natural health food movement. I will address each product in point form for easy reference and answer the following questions. What is it? What does it do? How much do you take? When do you take it? And are there any side effects? These are the questions most frequently asked by athletes and consumers, and therefore it is the responsibility of any advisor to know the right answers. You've got to be able to answer the questions that are in the minds of the consumers. And if you do that directly and eloquently and with massive amounts of science to back it up, I'm telling you, the products will just fly off the shelf. So let's begin with HMB, a product that seemingly has come and gone and yet has enormous value, unbelievably underestimated and incorrectly understood. It was very popular in the 90s when it first came out and yet barely understood by most retailers. In fact, I surveyed over 200 retailers in 75 health food stores across Canada, and only one of those 200 retailers could tell me what the acronym HMB stood for. I walked in the store, connected with the retailers, identified who I was, and I said, "Do you know what HMB stands for, the acronym?" And only one out of 200 could actually tell me. So there is the reason why that product has come and gone, because no one knows what the hell it is and nobody understood it. I mean, try and remember that name, and that is your responsibility, by the way, and you will be able to sell the product. HMB, or beta-hydroxy, beta-methylbutyrate, is classified as an anti-proteolytic. This downstream metabolite of the branched-chain amino acid leucine helps suppress the breakdown of protein, a natural component of human breast milk. There is evidence that 2 to 4 grams of HMB taken every day can amplify the production of insulin growth factor 1, or IGF-1, one of the body's most powerful muscle-building components. HMB protects vital organs and muscle fiber from the tissue-wasting cascade of stress-related compounds induced through training, such as leukotrienes, prostaglandins, and the adrenal hormone cortisol, and accelerates the production of lean muscle tissue during strenuous or intense training. In 1995, a placebo-controlled double-blind study was conducted with HMB on 40 college-age men, 23 untrained, 17 trained, randomly divided into 2 experimental groups. One group weight-trained 3 times a week for 1 month and took 3 grams of HMB each day. The other group followed the exact training regime, but was given a placebo each day instead. After a 4-week training period, the placebo group gained 1.92% lean mass, lost 2.2% body fat, and increased their lifting strength on average by 14 pounds. The HMB group, however, gained 3.1% lean mass, lost 7.3% body fat, and increased their ability to lift weight by over 22 pounds. So this is a significant fact in the difference between a placebo, and again, I mentioned it was a double-blind, placebo-controlled study. Although the exact mechanism behind the effect of HMB has yet to be fully discovered or rendered, research scientists have developed several working hypotheses trying to explain the effectiveness of HMB in athletes engaged in resistance training. One hypothesis suggests that as an essential component of the cell membrane, endogenous production, that means inside the body, of HMB is inadequate in regards to satisfying the increased biological demands of tissue in strenuous physical exercise, and especially as you age, like other substances, we produce less HMB as we age. It becomes an asset, a wonderful way to fill in the gaps as we're aging. We can take the supplement to compensate for enzymatic oxidative-related damage just through aging alone and being alive. This is remarkable, and yet hardly anyone understands this point. In addition, the stress of training itself may alter enzymes or biochemical concentrations of enzymes that decrease the natural production of HMB. Another theory supports the idea that HMB may regulate enzymes responsible for the catabolism or breakdown of muscle tissue. This explains the findings in several studies, which demonstrate that when HMB is used correctly according to recommendations, a measurable reduction in several biochemical indicators of muscle damage occurs, including lactate dehydrogenase, creatine kinase, and 3-methylhistidine. And if you can remember the names of those 3 enzymes and spill that out in your retail or professional presentation or in a lecture, people will respect you for just being able to remember those names. Lactate dehydrogenase, creatine kinase, and 3-methylhistidine. So let's get into some details now. What is HMB exactly? HMB is an acronym for beta-hydroxy-beta-methylbutyrate. It is the water-soluble downstream metabolite of ketoisocaproate, otherwise known as KIC, K-I-C, which is the carbon skeleton of the essential amino acid leucine. Leucine is one of the 3-branched-chain amino acids. The other two are isoleucine and valine or valine, depending upon how you want to pronounce it. KIC is converted into HMB via the enzyme KIC dioxygenase. The majority of HMB is metabolized to beta-hydroxy-beta-methylglutyryl-CoA, or HMG-CoA for short, which can then be employed in cholesterol synthesis. That enzyme is what the statins block. So HMB is involved indirectly with the synthesis of cholesterol. And that's very important to understand because cholesterol is the seat of hormone production, in particular testosterone. So if you're not able to produce cholesterol under stress, you are in trouble, baby. HMG-CoA reductase, or HMG-CoA, is rate-limiting when cholesterol synthesis is in great demand, such as during periods of rapid cell growth or membrane repair. So again, plug in the missing element. You may not produce enough of it under stressful conditions. And guess what? All of a sudden, you grow faster, you feel better, and you recover more efficiently. HMB is involved with the synthesis of cholesterol, as I mentioned, inside muscle cells. This is really cool, which occurs as an adaptive mechanism in response to resistance training. This leads to the formation of natural anabolic hormones, which then influence lean tissue growth through the creation of new satellite cells. HMB can indirectly provide the extra HMG-CoA needed for cholesterol synthesis and membrane architecture, resulting in decreased muscle damage and quicker recovery during periods of high muscular stress. HMB is a natural component of human breast milk and is present in small quantities in both plant and animal foods. It is synthesized primarily in the muscle and liver. Leucine is metabolized and converted into KIC, which is then oxidized and enzymatically converted into several metabolites, including HMB. So it's made inside the body, in a child, in a fetus, in an adult, your grandpa, your grandma, your mom, your daughter, your children, they're all making HMB, so it's a natural substance. You're not giving anybody a steroid or a chemical when you prescribe or recommend HMB. 60 grams of leucine, for example, equals about 30 grams of KIC, which then is reduced and converted into about 3 grams of HMB. So you can take a lot of leucine to ultimately support the production of HMB. It's kind of like the parent fatty acid ALA, the omega-3 fat that's converted enzymatically through elongation and desaturation into the longer chain fats. You start with this leucine, which is essential, and then it makes other things in the body. And understanding those pathways is kind of cool and neat. And when you can explain them to people, it makes sense. The average male body produces about 250 to 1,000 milligrams of HMB daily, depending on skeletal muscle mass and level of activity. So what does HMB do? Well, it strengthens the immune system. This is really important to me, by enhancement of white blood cell production. And if you're training hard, especially if you're dieting, you need that immune support. It's critical to take HMB throughout a dieting process. If you're an athlete trying to make weight, as a wrestler might be, or if you're trying to lose body fat and you're training hard at the same time. HMB, you can see, also would be good for anybody who needs immune support. HMB improves protein balance in favor of growth by slowing tissue degradation and by encouraging the synthesis of new cell proteins. Hey, in cachexia, in muscle wasting diseases, this stuff has got to be on top of the list. HMB seems to improve the metabolism of fatty acids stored within muscle fibers, a definite asset for both endurance and high-intensity exercise. So never mind if you want to gain muscle, just think about improving VO2 max and endurance. HMB also has a lipolytic effect. In clinical studies, it causes a reduction in body fat by influencing how cells utilize energy from fatty acids. Intramuscular fat, in particular, is oxidized more efficiently. So load up on the flax, the hemp, the omega-3 oils, mix it in your shake, take the HMB, and again, this synergistic application of vitamins and minerals that is fantastic. Triathletes, cyclists, and runners can elevate their lactate threshold through HMB's desirable effect on maximal oxygen consumption or VO2 peak. I learned about this in the racehorse studies. Racehorses were given HMB, and it improved as a measurable, predictable means. Like, they actually can measure the VO2 max of these animals. And by using HMB, you can actually burn fuel more efficiently, minimize the production of lactate, and therefore run faster, harder, longer. That is super cool. HMB has the opposite effect of anabolic steroids. It lowers total serum cholesterol when it's high, and it reduces the LDL, or the lethal or the low-density lipoprotein component, and increases the healthy or the high-density lipoprotein. HMB is beneficial in the treatment of wasting diseases, including cancer, AIDS, Alzheimer's, and muscular dystrophy. So you can see the pathology relationship of HMB as part of a treatment protocol. HMB decreases urinary nitrogen excretion and acts as a muscle buffer during high-intensity exercise. If you're training hard, you're losing nitrogen, you need to take in ample protein, but HMB helps you hold on to nitrogen. And that's important. One theory suggests that HMB is converted into special membrane linkage molecules called polymers. These polymers bond to the cell membrane, where they influence nitrogen chemistry and the transport of calcium. Higher doses of HMB may also amplify the production of somatomedins, IGF-1 in particular, which are recognized as powerful muscle-building components. HMB may also work by modifying the enzymatic response of lysosomes, tiny organelles within the cell. Lysosomal enzymes break down protein molecules and are normally released at the site of an injury to help digest cellular debris. Although this prepares the injured area for repair, overproduction of these proteolytic enzymes in the absence of sufficient HMB and or its metabolites may impair recovery and growth. So there's an inflammatory consequence of training, and there's an enzyme response which HMB helps regulate and control. If you pull in the HMB 3, 4, 5, 6 grams a day, you can significantly enhance your rate of recovery and therefore a new satellite cell and the architecture of muscle fibers moves forward in the direction that we all want. How much HMB should we take? The general guideline of 3 grams or 3,000 milligrams per day is based on a weight standard of about 80 kilograms or 175 pounds. A more accurate means to determine individual dosage is based on gender and lean mass. 40 milligrams per kilogram of lean mass, meaning you need to have a body composition assessment, or 18 milligrams per pound of lean mass for males, and 34 milligrams per kilogram of lean mass, or 15 milligrams per pound of lean mass for females. Essentially, males have more lean mass and more actual muscle fiber density than females. So males in this regard need more HMB as a general rule. It's also possible to load with HMB in a way similar to creatine loading. Loading doses of 100 milligrams per kilogram of lean mass for 10 days are promoted by some coaches and nutrition experts, followed by a permanent maintenance dose. This is something that you can take lifelong, day after day. You don't need to stop taking it to rest your organs, none of that stuff. Others suggest higher quantities for short cycles of 3 to 4 weeks. HMB is more effective when combined with resistance and endurance training, adequate protein ingestion, and creatine monohydrate. In a double-blinded 3-week study, researchers from the Institute of Sport and Physical Education in Warsaw, Poland, gave subjects chosen at random a placebo, creatine alone, 20 grams for 7 days, followed by 10 grams for 14 days, HMB alone, 3 grams a day, or creatine and HMB combined. All subjects followed an integrated exercise program, and all treatment groups gained lean mass. However, the group on the creatine and HMB combo gained an average of 3.4 pounds more lean mass than the placebo, 38.4% more strength over HMB alone, and 32.7% more strength than creatine by itself. So again, another example of synergy, blending these supplements together. Of course, in the next few clinical reviews, I'm going to look at creatine, whey protein isolate, and glutamine. They are the big four. When do you take HMB? Well, it is water soluble, so it's best taken in several doses throughout the day, like vitamin C or the bioflavonoids, such as pre-workout, post-workout, mid-afternoon, or before bedtime. Due to its short half-life, it is best to consume HMB every 2 to 4 hours. Dr. Steve Neeson, who's an expert on HMB and did a lot of the preliminary research, recommends spreading out your daily dose as much as possible throughout the day to accommodate the water solubility and short half-life of HMB. Half-life refers to the time required for one half of an amount of a substance to be lost through one's natural metabolism. HMB can be taken on an empty stomach or with a shake or meal. That's how I take mine, shake and take. A double dose taken 2 hours before exercise can also help maximize muscle and strength gains by inhibiting protein breakdown. And finally, does HMB have any side effects? Well, if you consider increased muscle mass, a reduction of body fat, improved immune function a side effect, yes. But extensive studies and safety profile investigation have discovered no adverse effects on organ systems, tissue cells, kidney and liver function, blood and brain chemistry. The stuff is safe. Give it to your kids. I do. Again, 40 milligrams per kilo of lean mass is a general standard. So you get a small body, they take a smaller amount. It's pretty straightforward. In a study involving 37 untrained college-aged men, researchers determined that subjects who consumed 0 milligrams per kilogram of day, 38 milligrams per kilogram per day, or 76 milligrams per kilogram per day of HMB demonstrated no adverse effects on hepatic enzyme function, means their livers were undamaged, lipid profiles, renal function, or the immune system. None of these systems were damaged whatsoever. All subjects were exposed to resistance training consisting of 10 different exercises performed 3 times a day per week for 8 weeks at 80% of 1 repetition max, 1RM, or repetition max. So, in fact, training itself has a lot more damage potential than the supplements, and you take the supplements to compensate for the damage, and of course we know that you need to damage the system in a controlled way to facilitate it to respond. So it adapts to the stress, the whole system is charged, and then you have to bring in the right nourishment and the right supplements to facilitate the natural adaptation response that is biologically ordained and controlled by nature. And so there you have it. That is what I have to say on HMB. Take it on a regular basis, make it part of your regular program, and you can rest assured that the science will support its continued use. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Lauren Cordain, PhD, author of The Paleo Diet for Athletes. As a serious athlete, you have a lifestyle and activity level that are far different from that of the average American.